All right. Well, thanks for talking to me today. First of all, let's ask some questions about yourself. How long have you been a controller?
I've been a controller with the FAA at Kansas City Center since 2003. I had some Air Force time before that. I was active duty Air Force in 1998, 2002. I was a controller there as well. Right now, we're looking at 24 years.
Wow.
As of right now.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you for your service. And were you stationed anywhere interesting or?
Duty station I had majority of my time was at Scott Air Force Base in Belleville, Illinois. Very nice facility. And then I did have one temporary duty in Prince Sultan Air Base, Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
But my time overseas was pre 9/11, you know, and but it was kind of entertaining. So.
All right. Well, great. So what interested you in becoming a controller? Is that something you always wanted to do before joining the Air Force, or did the Air Force steer that way?
Pretty much. When you go in and test to get into the Air Force, they give you a NASVAB test, any military branch, or at least they did back when I was trying to get in. And I qualified for air traffic controller, and the Air Force had a need and asked me if I wanted to do it. And I did a little bit of research and saw, you know, what they did and said, yeah, sure. I'd love to be an air traffic controller. So, and then transitioning from the military to the civilian side, you know, the civilian side pays really well, and it's a entertaining and a fulfilling job. I mean, you get to work with professional pilots, other fellow controllers, and your whole point is to keep people safe while they travel from point A to point B, no matter where that may be. So, it's definitely been a great career for me. So, I look forward to, you know, a few more years and be able to retire. We'll go from there.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. All right. Well, I'm sure the agency is glad to have you. We all are. So let's go back to November 17th of 21 and about 2 o'clock in Sector 6. Can you give me your recount of the events?
That was an incident that does not occur very often, thankfully. But on that day, we had an aircraft the pilot was experienced apoxia. The aircraft decompressorized on him. It was November 2 Romeo Alpha, an ME2 Mitsubishi. And it very rapidly went from a root sit at the sector working airplanes to, hey, emergency descent, you know, which no controller wants to ever hear. It was a time where the aircraft needed to descend. He needed to get to a point where he could breathe and survive. So I began a descent. I gave him an issue of clearance right away. And I could see everything. Flight level 180 and above, I knew there was no primary targets that should be bearing in that area. I immediately gave him a descent to flight level 180. And I had to coordinate. He was above Vance, Enid, Oklahoma's home of Vance Air Force. The Vance controllers there were phenomenal. I said emergency descent, said he's going to go down. We got him going. And coordinated. I turned on my primary targets. You know, we got things squared away, and we got them all the way down to 10,000. But as you know, it's a sensitive issue, and we got to get them going. He leveled at flight level 180. You know, it wasn't clicking. And so I had to reiterate, continue your descent to 10,000. And some of the experience in the room, you know, from different controllers, gentlemen, very great man, recommended, hey, slow down, just tell him oxygen, oxygen, oxygen. And we did kind of a triple reiterate. I really need you to get the oxygen on. And I began issuing that right away. I had the controller come and work assist immediately. But the assist position is certified controller that could see what's going on in my sector, help me, you know, separate the traffic, coordinate with other sectors what's going on, proof point out so we're not congesting our frequencies, stuff like that. The gentleman working the next sector to my right immediately began trying to keep stuff on my north half separated and, you know, and coordinating any way that he could. And we had a controller who has pilot experience, and he came over and he sat down as the relief who I had, and, you know, we worked it together. And it was unique because you could see November 2 Romeo Alpha on radar, you know, you could see him just fine on radar. And he initiated an unconstructed left turn. He was going to Tulsa, Oklahoma, to Pueblo, Colorado, and he started turning. I was so sucked in on him that as soon as the first hit, you know, and he's turning, and I asked Ben, I'm like, hey, man, you see him turning? And he's like, It's like, dude. And I'm like, dude. And we got another hit. And I'm like, immediately get him. It says if you're in a left turn, you know, and I immediately, hey, if you can't, fly heading 270, you know, just try to stabilize. And I don't, he never read back to leave. I'd have to check the tapes and listen to that. He corrected, began heading back to the west. I don't know exactly if that happened before he leveled at 18 or not, but, you know, he reports level to flight level 180 and does not sound good at all. And so I issued the control instruction again at this end, and again, reiterating routinely, oxygen, oxygen, oxygen. And I wasn't getting it, like, so you'd have to take a breath, do something, and then just tell him again, you know, ever, you know, oxygen, oxygen, oxygen. It was November 2 Romeo Alpha, and oxygen, 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 to get him all down. And I don't know if you guys have the tape of that or not, but continues the end down to 10,000. And then best I recall, about 15,000 feet, he started sounding better. He keyed up, and it was the first time it sounded like I was talking to a pilot that was coherent. He's operating his aircraft. He's navigating that. How you doing? You know, and he's like, I want to, what's your intentions? You know, we finally got the time to go through the question. How many people on board? What do you want to do? Do you have your pressurization thing fixed? He responded to all those things. Now, the kicker was, is my sector only owns flight level 240 to flight level 370 that day, I believe. We have an ultra high above us. And the frequency where he was transmitting off, he's getting farther away from and he's getting lower. So I knew I was going to lose him. So we didn't chat much. I mean, we stabilized him. He sounded good. The gentleman that was helping me on my left immediately slid over to the low altitude side. You know, so there didn't have to be a lot of coordination from sector to sector what was going on. And after all of that, sector started spooling back up. You're always trained not to get tunneled, but we were definitely working around that. But he had a majority of my attention. When he leveled at flight level 180, I don't know the pilot who did it, but he reiterated on frequency as well. Said, hey, man, just descend. Pilot to pilot, which, you know, is pretty neat. And everybody on frequency, once they checked in, they could tell it was not routine. They were quiet and supportive. My supervisor received a letter from a chief pilot who was listening, who, you know, complimented us on what we did. And that was that day. As a matter of fact, he continued on. We know he landed safely. I was pulling my double. That was my morning shift. And then I got to take a break and go back in for the mid shift. So went home, took a nap, went back in that night. And I actually got to see Foxstar Bravo's initials, but Ben. And I was like, hey, man, I'm like, what do you think? He's like, he'd never seen anything like that either. So I asked him, I was like, you know, hey, as a pilot, I'm like, you know, what's it feel comfortable? He goes, you know, sometimes 10,000 is nice. He goes, 8's even better, you know. But it was so surreal that, you know, I wonder what it would be like to hear the story from the pilot. I wonder if he remembers making the turn. Because when he started sounding good again, he's like, I'm just going direct Pueblo. You know, I mean, he didn't remember the assigned heading. Ben, when he slid over, would just make sure the low altitude controller would just reissue a clearance so everybody was on the same page. I have questions for him, but he called in. He talked to my supervisor. He reiterated that he was okay and, you know, good to go. And he thanked me. He said that via my supervisor, he talked to me, thanked me for, you know, reminding them to keep the oxygen. That was really nice of him to do. So just part of the job.
Yeah. Well, thank you. So you mentioned that, you know, when the situation arose, everyone in the room kind of supported you, and air traffic control is definitely a team activity. How important would you say that teamwork is?
Well, I guess I'm going to answer that very, very clearly. It's my voice that you hear on the tape, and I have been granted this wonderful thing of winning an Archie, but everybody in that room deserves an award. It was my voice, but there was numerous people who stepped in to save him and make that situation go as well as it could go. Teamwork is vital. Teamwork makes the dream work. I mean, it really is number one thing in air traffic. Now, obviously, they're not going to be responsible for your individual actions, but having people, professionals, all going for the same goal of simply separating aircraft, issuing safety alerts, and getting everybody from point A to point B as most expeditiously and safely that we can is what our national airspace system and our traffic control system is all about. We don't like delaying people, but we don't want you to get into unsafe situations where you can't make it from point A to point B. I can't thank the controllers in my area that helped with so much. And
yeah, I've listened to the tape numerous times. The first time I listened to it, the first thing that popped into my mind is, wow, this guy's a pro. As soon as the situation was identified, an emergency was declared, and action happened. Identifying physiological effect, hypoxia on the pilot, and acting on that. With that professionalism, what advice do you have for trainee controllers or people that aspire to be a controller?
Air traffic control, as you go through your training, you're going to run through so many different scenarios, and you need to be able to recognize what's going on, and you need to, you know, with whatever input is coming into you, process it, come up with a logical action. And if somebody's listening to this and has never been in air traffic control, relax, believe me, you're going to have plenty of time to figure it out. But it's vital that that's what we do. We are literally monitoring the airways and reading our flight plans and moving airplanes at such a rate that the information comes in, we come up with a good idea, we run through it, and then we reassess, is this a good plan? Staying calm, cool, and professional is vitally important. You know, I mean, pilots want you that safely on the ground to assure them that you know what's going on and get them quickly and safely through where they need to be. So, yeah, I hope that answers the question. But, you know, you maintain professionalism, have the information come in, and continue moving forward.
All right. Well, thank you for joining me today, answering my questions. And thank you for your actions on that day, and congratulations on your Archie.
Thank you.